National Executive agreed a number of specific actions in response to the final report of the Mahon Tribunal. These were detailed in the statement which I issued last night. I will not go through that statement in detail, but will make a number of comments about the report and Fianna Fáil's attitude to its contents. This tribunal was set up 15 years ago to address clear and mounting evidence of corruption in the planning process in County Dublin during the late 1980s and into the 1990s. It addressed specific controversies which were known to be of concern when it was established, and also many more which emerged during its proceedings. I welcome the report and accept what it has to say about corrupt practices. It confirmed systemic corruption in planning in County Dublin, which existed over an extended period. Local democracy was subverted by a combination of persons making payments to secure council decisions and politicians willing to seek and accept such payments. The findings against individuals are clear and unequivocal. The public have a right to expect that the law will continue to be used to hold them accountable in the courts. Equally, they have a right to expect that the parties who these individuals represented will take action. A number of those found to have received corrupt payments are now dead or no longer have any connection with politics. We're obviously not in a position to act against them, but we condemn their behaviour. There are three former councillors who still appear on our membership rolls who are found to have received corrupt payments. Motions to expel them from the party will be taken up by the National Executive next Friday. The implications of the report for national politics are also stark. There is no circumstance in which the cheque received by Patrick Flynn could be justified. The evidence is clear, and a motion to expel him from membership will also be taken up next Friday. Although the central allegation against Bert Dehearn was not sustained, the evidence confirmed by the tribunal and its comments relating to him are extremely serious. The findings of the tribunal that the explanations it was given were untrue and the amounts involved are very serious and cannot be ignored. No matter how high a member rises within the party and in elected office, they still carry a duty of trust for the members of Fianna Fáil and for the people who elected them. Achievements like the Good Friday Agreement are real and enduring, but they cannot absolve Bert Dehearn in facing the implications of this tribunal report. The motion of expulsion, which will be voted on next Friday, is the only route available to us to assert the fact that he fell short of the standard of personal behaviour which all holders of public office should uphold. During the course of the tribunal, a lot of evidence was produced concerning the handling of the affairs of the Dublin Central constituency. That is why we have decided to seek a formal root and branch review and restructuring of the organisation in the constituency. It is intended that if the National Executive agrees, all functions performed by officers of that branch of the organisation will be transferred with immediate effect to the General Secretary. I'm also going to seek that all assets held by or on behalf of that party organisation be transferred into the names of the General Secretary and Treasurers to act as trustees thereof, pending the establishment of a renewed Dublin Central organisation. It is very important to stress that this decision is not a reflection on the party's members and the constituency on the ground, but it is an essential part in re-establishing trust in the handling of the party's affairs. Last September, at our parliamentary party meeting, and again at this month's Ardesh, I promised that we would act swiftly and definitively on the findings of the report. I said that we would not take the approach which Fine Gael and Labour followed last year in ignoring the evidence and criticism of the Moriarty Tribunal. Irrespective of how tough the findings were, I said we would act. In the meetings I've held throughout the country, the strongest supporters of this have been our rank and file members. They see that people who they helped to achieve public positions abuse these positions for personal gain. They see the damage which has been done to a Fianna Fáil party whose traditions they are proud of, but which have been badly undermined. Separately to these findings, the tribunal refers in its introduction to criticisms of its work and what it believes was an attempt to collapse its investigations. Contrary to what some people have said, this is not a finding of the tribunal, and no specifics whatsoever are presented in relation to it. The tribunal did not put this point to individuals, and it is not referred to in either the narrative sections of the report or the findings. I take this comment seriously. The fact is that the report provides no details upon which a response can be given, and it's not up to others to decide what instances the tribunal is specifically referring to. It is to be assumed that the tribunal does not view all criticism of this work as unacceptable. The Fianna Fáil party I lead will not tolerate or fail to condemn abuse of public office, whether in our own party or, as both this report and the Moriarty report have revealed, in others. I'm determined to lead a party that will not permit any member to engage in behaviour that debases our primary duty, which is to serve the people. Much of the activity detailed in this report has been tightly controlled or banned for many years, overwhelmingly through legislation introduced by Fianna Fáil-led governments. I accept that there are still some actions which are required. Equally, it's also clear that questions remain about our planning process. Since I became leader of Fianna Fáil, I've brought forward measures that I believe will prevent any repeat of such abuses. As a party, we have published legislation to implement the recommendations of the Moriarty report. We will take the same approach to the recommendations made by Judge Mahon and his colleagues. The decision last year by the government to disband an independent review of planning decisions in 5 counties was wrong, and it should be reversed. An independent review can be completed quickly, comprehensively, and at minimum cost. If the political system is to demonstrate that it is serious about the Mahon report, then this is an essential first step. I understand and share the anger and disappointment that many people will feel when reading the tribunal's report and conclusions. I acknowledge that people have heard similar commitments from my party before, but my message to them is I understand the scale of the challenge we face rebuilding trust with people, and there is nothing I take more seriously. The actions I've outlined last night and this morning represent a swift and comprehensive response to the report, and I intend that we will continue to push forward measures to restore public faith in political life. Thank you.
Mr. Martin, when are you going to apologise for the sustained and virulent attacks that were issued by senior government ministers in 2007-2008 from the cabinet in which you served, from the party which you now lead? You continue to say there's no specifics. It's quite clear. They set out a timeline. They set out exactly who was guilty of this. And they say that it was intended to collapse the inquiry into Bertie Ahern, not to collapse the inquiry in its entirety. All you've done in the last 24 hours is try to twist what they've said and make ultra-boy pleadings of innocence. When are you going to actually apologise to the tribunal?
Well, first of all, that's unfair in what you have said. They don't set out specifics.
Who do you think the... Sorry, they say 2007-2008, senior government...
Can I answer your question? No.
Yeah.
This is a question
you
want
to answer.
But I am answering it, and I think we can do this in a reasonable tone as well. I'm just saying to you, they do not set out specifics. I can't act as judge and jury in this. What I can say tonight, and I'd ask you to produce any comment that I, in any shape or form, ever attempted to undermine the integrity of the members of the tribunal, or indeed the legality of the tribunal. At no stage did I ever engage in that. And I would challenge anybody to produce any quotation to that suggestion. And indeed, there's a motion as late, I think as 2008, which reaffirms the then government's commitment to the continuation of the tribunal in Dáil Éireann, on the record of Dáil Éireann, to the continuation of the tribunal, and having confidence in the tribunal, in its capacity to complete it. That's on the record of the House, voted for by every member of the Fianna Fáil party at that time. Now, I do take the comments, because it is wrong, and it would be wrong, to, in any shape or form, undermine the tribunal, and in particular to try and undermine the integrity of the tribunal judges. I wouldn't, in any shape or form, condone that, and I would condemn it. But the difficulty I have is that in the context in which this is presented in the introductory commentary, unfortunately, specifics are not set out.
Well, on this specific, would you deprecate the comments from Willie O'Dea, still a member of your front bench, when he suggested the tribunal was exceeding its remit and he lampooned them for going after Bertie Ahern's Holy Communion money? Do you condemn that now?
I think those comments, in my view, were unwise. And I think also I would say that I would look at the full extent of what was said, because Willie O'Dea also said that he had confidence in the tribunal and its capacity to do its work. And he said that, I think, on the record of the House. As well, and that has to be said also. And I think the tribunal itself, let's be straight, had unlimited resources provided by the government of the day, had unlimited, had very strong powers, and it took up to 15 years for the tribunal to uncover what it has uncovered, which is valuable, which is important, and which provides a significant service to public life and to political life. But it did take considerable time for the tribunal, not through its own fault, but the fault of others, to actually pull all the threads together. And people, not just politicians, but journalists and others, from time to time criticised certain aspects of the tribunal in terms of its length and so on like that. And I think there's a, you know, one has to, at some level, have some facilitation for people to make commentary in terms of both the political system and indeed beyond it.
But just one more question on this. Yeah. I mean, there was a concerted effort by Fianna Fáil cabinet ministers to fan out across radio programmes, and I think it was the 20th and the 21st of December in 2007. Three, four, five ministers criticising the tribunal in sometimes fairly trenchant terms. Were you aware of this?
No. The word concerted, certainly.
It was concerted.
No, but sorry, I was not aware of that. No, in terms of what is said in terms of an attempt to concert attempt connects. No.
No, I don't think a concerted attempt.
No, I just said no. Are you aware? No, is the answer to your question. I was not aware of any sort of plan or any coordinated attempt. And I was always very clear in my commentary that the tribunal should be allowed to get on with its work, because throughout its period there's an attempt to make a political football out of the various events of the tribunal, you know, various happenings and so on and that would surface from time to time. But I was always very clear that the tribunal ultimately should be allowed to do its work.
One final question. Yeah. Broadly speaking, do you not accept, or have you given any thought to the idea that the Fianna Fáil brand is now so tarnished that it is time to disband and start over? Have you given any thought to that?
We derive our legitimacy from the ballot box too. There were 20 TDs elected in the last election. Unfortunately, due to the death of their brand, we now have 19 members. But their legitimacy derives from the electorate. And we have an obligation and a duty and an entitlement to represent the 400,000 people who voted for us in the last election. Now, my commitment and my commitment to public life from the very beginning and now at this particular juncture is to lead the party in a new direction, but also to contribute to the improvement of public life itself. And I would draw a distinction between how I'm responding to this and how Fine Gael responded to the Moriarty Tribunal, which equally had very serious conclusions in terms of the awarding of the most lucrative contract ever in the history of the state, for example, as rush, fraud, and which involved huge sums of money as well, and apart from the fundraising, targeted at those who ultimately would have the decision-making powers in relation to that. And we're waiting a full year for a comprehensive response to that. We haven't got it. And I think both tribunal reports are very damaging to public life. I think a lot has happened, to be fair, since the establishment of both tribunals in terms of the improvements of the regulatory framework governing political donations, governing declarations of transparency. We've put forward further legislation based on Moriarty's recommendations. We will equally respond to the Mahon tribunal's recommendations in terms of legislative responses and working with all in the DAI to take even further measures to improve transparency and to endeavour to restore trust and confidence in public life. That's why I see that my role as leader of the Fianna Fáil Party to make a contribution in that direction.
Yeah. So, Micheál, you say you are not part of any orchestrated or coerced line of ministers and nuclear closure of the dates in December when this happened. Nonetheless, you were on the Last Word radio programme in December of 2007, in which you said you believed Bertie Ahern's evidence to the tribunal and you were confident of his bona fides. You also made reference to not wishing to comment on the tribunal's work per se, but I suggest to you that you're on the horns of the classic knave or fool dilemma, because either you are intelligent enough, I think an intelligent man, to realise that Bertie Ahern was engaging in 2 years of sustained untruthfulness at the tribunal, in which case you do not express your moral reservation by resigning from cabinet, or else you are complicit in that and part of it, hook, line and sinker. And I put it to you that...
Complicit in what?
Complicit in acting for personal political advantage by riding to the assistance of Bertie Ahern when he was embattled. In other words, that you were either a neighbour or a fool, and the evidence I put to you is that you did not resign from Fianna Fáil until, again, it was your personal political advantage, when, remarkably, it was in the case of a Fianna Fáil Taoiseach who was untainted by personal financial pressures, but you did it to enable your own ambition. And this is a threat that perhaps it can be argued has been running through Fianna Fáil for certainly the last 40 years. What say you?
I would reject that. I think we established a tribunal. It was a Fianna Fáil-led government established a tribunal, which has proved extremely valuable in terms of public service and exposing what has been exposed. And it's been the most comprehensive of its kind. And provided resources to enable it to continue and to happen. The big challenge actually was, having established a tribunal with high court powers and resources, that one couldn't then set oneself up as judge and jury as well, in parallel with the tribunal. I think that's the dilemma that some of the commentary is ignoring. And it's studiously ignored, in my view, for too long. You cannot have it both ways. In terms of, if one establishes a tribunal, and I accept the difficulties and the challenges for everybody involved in terms of not being in a position to comment, everyone, 166 TDs not being able to comment, or indeed journalists, whatever, people comment on things. Yeah. But on the other hand, you cannot be judge and jury once the tribunal is on their way. No, hold on a second, please. I'm answering your question if you'd allow me answer the question. And I come back to you and I get more
questions. Because you said you can't have a closed race. I'm saying you can't have a closed race. Were you a knave or were you a fool in December 2007 when you said you believed Bertie Ahern's evidence?
So in terms of, you certainly manage. I believe what Bertie Ahern said at that time to the room, I was wrong. And I was disappointed. And I am disappointed in terms of the outcome of the tribunal. I thought it was specific evidence in relation, I think, to Brian Dobson interview and in relation to various events.
You believe that?
But at the time, I felt he was giving an account. I didn't understand it fully. I hadn't gone through the whole report or the entirety of the report. It's only when the tribunal, let's be clear, you're saying I should know, but it took 15 years for a tribunal to unravel. They didn't. And it was in the latter part of the tribunal, in the last year of the tribunal, that some of the evidence began to emerge in terms of the very complicated situation in relation to Bertie Ahern's finances. Just let me finish. Okay? And so in that instance, more and more came out as time moved on. And therefore, again, I think it was important that the tribunal would make the judgment call and make its decisions and conclusions. I could not preempt the work of the tribunal. And I would reject completely your assertion about personal political advantage. There was no great personal political advantage in assuming the leadership of the Fianna Fáil before the last general election. None. Imagine this case. We all don't just join politics for personal advantage. I have a long time commitment to public life and to politics since I started as a young person. I'm interested in public life. I'm interested in the affairs of the island and the world for that matter. And I've committed my life to it. And I still do. And sometimes you can argue that you get you have success in your political life, other times you don't. There are highs and lows in politics, and there always will be, for every individual for that matter. But I don't, that's not my fundamental motivation. I have an obligation and a duty now to see what I can do to contribute to public life, and I intend to do it. Kinishin Bunhe, Anish, Atalashti, and Well, Maradona Mehane again on the only population tribunal of the Oberon Tribunal, again on the Deuce, the Capitals, Gresham McConaughey, and the Dorche, Islair, not within the Tribunal Sausage, and the Scotland and the Oberon Tribunal. Tall here, I'm Tall Bronon, who is to Tarish Tarah. Augustus Ulkenskele, Neil Weinberg, and the 40. Agus the public and tyranny, agus the Gana Cusgrinder and party, at Igo, but a good DMD of the son of the party, Law and Eagle, Nietzsche, son sauce in Eger, Nation made a tartar, agus Tabona and Fishin. Well, sorry, on, well, Dieger and Nieg, it's not a criminal gospel to Hale, Adavim, well, the original Richard Duchley.
Two questions. Firstly, in relation to Dublin Central, your statement about kind of the reorganisation shows that you clearly have misgivings of the status and occupancy of St. Luke's. And can you give us an indication as to what you intend to do and what you also what your motivation is? And secondly, further to Senan and David's questions, that ultimately your party will never be able to move on as long as you're a leader, given you sat at the cabinet table, given your expressions of support for Bertie Hearn, and also, I mean, you did make critical comments of Des O'Neill and of the tribunal at various stages, and I suppose that, you know, further to what Derek Cleary said, you know, that this is a matter of, you know, that you are making these moves to try and restore faith from the grassroots and so on and so forth, but you cannot do that, I suppose, as long as you remain leader, given that you sat at the cabinet table for so long.
Sorry, the Tribunal report doesn't deal with the cabinet or the government, any government from 1997 onwards. It's no suggestion of any impropriety by any member of the government from 1997 in terms of the Decisions Act government took, but that's an important point. The Tribunal deals with wrongdoings in the late 80s and the early 90s, and it wasn't until 07-08 that the tribunal began to reveal the situation in relation to Bertie Hearn's personal finances. And that's a very important distinction to make. This idea that just because you sat in government with somebody in relation to issues that go back before that, and that somehow you have committed some act of impropriety, I think is unacceptable. I think it's a fair point to make, and that's just my opinion on that. As I say, I derive my legitimacy from the fact that I went before the people again and I was re-elected by the people. And that's where we, the current generation of Fianna Fáil elected representatives, draw our legitimacy from. Now, we have an enormous challenge. I accept that, you know, in terms of rebuilding trust for the party. But we're determined that it's not just about Fianna Fáil, but it's about Irish public life in general. And that we're determined to make a constructive contribution to improving Irish public life, to restoring trust in Irish public life, and also to bring forward constructive solutions to the concerns that people experience today. In relation to Dublin Central, I think the evidence that came before the tribunal was unsatisfactory in terms of the various accounts and so on in relation to Dublin Central and the party. And I think it's in our view, it's necessary to sort that out and to engage with the membership on the ground and to review and restructure the organisation, and also to deal with the assets. Obviously, the executive will have to make a decision on that next Friday night. And following on that, we then make further decisions in terms of what we do. We've no clear plans as a result.
Finally, Derek said he was ashamed when asked in prime time last night. Are you ashamed of what has happened?
I've heard about the corruption. I'm absolutely. It's a bad day for politics. I think it's. I condemn unreservedly the action of those who have been found to be corrupt by the tribunal. And I think it's extremely, as a member of the Fianna Fáil party and somebody who joined it for the best of reasons, and conscious of the tradition of the founding fathers of the party, I'm very, very upset and very, very angry as well in terms of how people have abused their position. People did abuse their position. And that is why I think we need to change the way we do things in terms of fundraising within the party. And a lot of parties should do so as well, but I think we have to do what's what's within our remit to do, and we can't do that.
Well, we've got two questions. One, do you regret taking money from foreign talent? And secondly, you condemn the government for failing to decline to the take action on the Moriarty tribunal. Can I ask you, if you were a teacher, would you appear in public with people against whom serious adverse findings have been made in the tribunal?
Well, the first question is, the tribunal is very clear in terms of drawing a distinction between legitimate political contributions and payments for other objectives, political corrupt objectives, and it makes that point very clearly in its report. And there's no suggestion, good, bad, or different, of any provider might have. That said, however, I do think the culture that did exist right through our politics, and still exists in some areas, is a wrong culture, that nexus between funding and politics. And that's why we've come forward with legislation to ban corporate donations. I know Mr. Hogan's legislation before the House is well known, which would significantly improve the situation, I acknowledge. But I think and there has been improvement since then, but I would accept that culture was wrong, and I think all parties engaged in it, and still do to this present day, and have up to very recent times, and continue to do so. But I think we have to be very clear that the lessons of the tribunals are, that from the public perspective, even though the tribunal actually doesn't make that point, the tribunal makes the point that legitimate public funding or private funding has a role in political life, and that's my assessment of what it seems to be saying. But it draws a distinction between legitimate and not legitimate donations. And however, from my own perspective, I think we have to dramatically change our approach to how we fund politics. We've made huge progress in the last decade, but I think we have to be clear that the public want a clear separation. And the second question, in terms of my criticism of the Moriarty, of the government's response to Moriarty, I think it was a 48-hour wonder a year ago. The allegation was extremely serious that the most lucrative commercial license ever awarded by a government decision was flawed, rushed, wrong. That is a pattern of fundraising targeted at those who were making the decision, including five government ministers who were in the present cabinet. And I think, yeah, there are serious questions there in terms of that response. And I don't think, I don't think it is appropriate that people should be on the same platform and along with any action today. Well, in terms of individuals, I think the teacher, as an officer, I think he should be, in my view, very clear in terms of his approach. That I think I don't know the circumstances and how all of that happened, but I certainly think the teacher should do it.
Michal, you said there that the tribunal hadn't made any kind of adverse finding or suggestion about the government from 1997 on. But I'm wondering, given that Bertie lies to the tribunal, he lied to the public, and he apparently lies to his ministers at the cabinet table, how you can be so confident in making such an assertion that the governments that you were a part of from 1997 on were in any way not subject to possibly corrupt decisions or any kind of improper decisions or inappropriate decisions overseen by Bertie Ahern?
Well, the tribunal is what did not in any shape or form deal with that, nor was it meant to, as you know. I'm making a very clear and important point that the tribunal was set up to deal with issues in the late 80s and early 90s, not to deal with anything from 97 onwards. And I've made it clear that in terms of my membership of any government, that I wouldn't be a party to or take part in any decision that would not be in the public interest.
Given what we now know about Bertie Ahern, though, you can't actually stand over.
Well, I mean, you're asking, in terms of, are allegations being made, are assertions being made about particular decisions?
No, but you can't suggest either that from 1997.
But that's like saying, I take your point, but I would have to say that from my observations of it, I'm not aware of any decision.
Can I ask also?
A successive government generation.
Can I ask also, just
going back to the judgment of him or whatever.
Just go back to December 2007. On December 20th, Dermot Ahern went on the 6-1 News on December 20th, the same evening. You went on The Last Word. Next morning, Dick Roach went on Morning Ireland. Are you saying that there was no requests made to you or to ministers by the government's press secretary or by anyone else on or behalf of Mr. Ahern to go on radio and TV programmes and defend him on those 2 days in question?
I think The early question I was asked about was Conservative supported. I mean, we're asked all the time by press officers and government jails to go on programs. Programs go looking for us, as you know, in any station. Would such and such a person do a particular program? That's part and parcel of normal political life. And I don't know just the precise background to why I went on that particular program. I presume someone said today, if I'm looking for you know, a contributor from the program, will you go on?
Let's move on. In your opinion, Mr. Martin, should people who are identified as having done wrong in this report, who are in the seat of public opinion, should they be allowed to continue to go down those things?
Well, I think, first of all, as I said in my own statement at the beginning, people who are, have against whom findings have been made in this tribunal should face full rigor of the authorities. These reports have not been sent to the Director of Public Prosecutions. And I think those authorities have to make decisions then in relation to those issues. And I think, arising out of that, I think questions certainly would have to be asked then.
You yourself, morally, do you think they should be allowed?
I think no, in terms of if courts find people guilty of corruption, I think there are issues about people then drawing attention back to them. There should be punishments for them.
Is the result of next Friday's meeting a foregone conclusion? Or will, for example, the people who you're supposed to expel, will they be allowed to address that meeting? And what do you say in response to Noel Ahern's suggestion that you're adopting some sort of a macho response or trying to put some sort of macho stamp on leadership?
The people will be entitled to a fair hearing. People are entitled to make their case in accordance with natural justice. I don't know the outcome of the meeting. And I'm certainly not in a position to tell you that it's a foregone conclusion or anything like that. I think people have their own views and have their own perspectives on it. So it's not a foregone conclusion to you in any shape or form. I would say that around the country, in the last 12 months when I travelled around, people were asking me even then, would I respond robustly and without fear or favour in the context of the matter of the report? So this was coming from people on the ground, generally speaking, without obviously being privy or knowing fully what the tribunal was going to do. There was that sense around the organisation and the members of the party, the rank-and-file members of the party, of really an impatience with a lot of this, and anger about a lot of this, and how damaging it was to the party. So I don't know, is that a storm in the wind in terms of how people may come to the executive in terms of their view, but I can't forecast. It's a new executive, but to a certain extent, a significant turnover of members, new members elected at the last Ardesh and through the constituencies. The second question is the... I said earlier in Irish that the motivation for recommending the motion next week is based on the evidence of the tribunal. Nothing more, nothing less. There's nothing natural about this. I don't like being in a position of being a party and to recommend this. You know, it's very dark there for the party when you have to recommend the expulsion of a former leader. I don't take any... You know, there's nothing... not showing that. Something I would not like in any normal event to have to do. But it's based on the evidence of the tribunal. Nothing more than that.
This is also part of the
meeting. But that's how analysts and observers would make those comments, but I can't base commentary on that. You know, I just have to go by what the tribunal says in its conclusions and its findings in terms of the corruption, and in terms of people not truthfully, not giving a truthful account of their affairs to the tribunal.
Last question, Juno.
Micheál, your statement last night failed to make any reference to Albert Reynolds. The tribunal found that he had sought donations from Ona Callan, and this was an abuse of power. It also referenced the fact that Sean Sherwin, the party organiser in 1992, had told then Taoiseach, just before he was deciding on his cabinet, about the payment. And that the Taoiseach then went on to reappoint Pádraig Flynn's Environment Minister. What are your thoughts on this? Surely you must have something to say about their pretty damning criticisms. Do you have nothing to say about that?
Well, they are, and I think I said that, I think, in my in earlier commentary, I think, rather, forgive me if I'm wrong, last night's statement or today's statement. But in any event, I think...
Wasn't it last night?
Well, sorry, but they were wrong in that decision. I think Aberyn should have made stronger efforts to find out if that... certain at the time is true in relation to Dr. Martin, which subsequently proved to be true. But I think I've accepted the findings of the tribunal in relation to that, and particularly the broader finding around it being improper to solicit large funding like that in the capacity as either teacher or prime minister.
Can I ask Micheál, have you spoken to the former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern since yesterday or your speech of the other day? And also, someone who's written out the history of the party, could you explain what has happened over the past 50 years in Fianna Fáil that people like Charlie Haughey, Bertie Ahern, Horrid Flynn, Liam Lawler, and so on, have been able to rise to the top of the party and effectively engage in a lot of very questionable decisions? What culture was there in the party that allowed that to happen?
First of all, I haven't spoken to Bertie Ahern since the Ardèche, or indeed at the Ardèche. In terms of the, I suppose, yeah, I am a student of the history of politics generally and of the party, and I was very much motivated by the objectives of the founding fathers of the party and their zeal and their commitment to public life, which I think is undeniable. And it saddens me greatly that that tradition has been besmirched, has been damaged and undermined by a more modern era within the party, particularly by the people that you've mentioned. And as I said earlier, people did abuse their positions within the party and abuse public trust that's put in them. And I think one, there can be various analyses of how all that came about. I believe it's a cultural thing that developed, ultimately, the culture that developed through a particular number of decades that gave rise and tolerated this kind of activity and behaviour. I don't think it's particularly just a Fianna Fáil alone, to be straight up with you. I think, remember, this tribunal talks about corruption fundamentally in Dublin and deals with corruption in the planning process and indicts members, particularly the two larger parties in the state, since it's Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael significantly, and one day were councillor. That tends to get forgotten in the focus on Bertie Ahern, but this was a planning tribunal which did focus very strongly on corruption in the planning process in Dublin involving members, former members of Fianna Fáil and former members of the Fine Gael party. And also, as I mentioned, I would argue that the Moriarty Tribunal also is part of that culture, reflects that as well. That doesn't get the same commentary maybe as Mahon does, but I would argue that the decision that it has to investigate and its conclusions in relation to another decision that occurred, that was profoundly corrupt in relation to Ben Dunton. But they're very serious as well, and also reflect them.
Can I ask a question? It's a small housekeeping question about the BT account. The BT account is found by the tribunal to be operated for the benefit of Bertie and Tim Collins, his friend. Now, is Fianna Fáil going to ask Bertie Ahern and or Tim Collins to repay some of the cheques made out to Fianna Fáil, which the tribunal found were improperly lodged to that account?
But first of all, as I said earlier, we're dealing with the assets of Dublin Central, and there are a lot of issues in the evidence and testimony Senate that you've just raised and that we're examining as well. And all those issues are going to be examined, so I can assure you of that. And we'll be pursuing.
Okay. Thank you.